Be our prayer to help win the lost. There's so many people in this world today that's hurting, that are lost, and it burdens your heart, folks. I mean to tell you, when you go somewhere like we did to India, and you see thousands upon thousands of people, it's something. I'm going to talk about fathers in a minute, but you think about it with us just a moment. We'll show, as I said, maybe in a couple of weeks. Bangladesh, we flew into Bangladesh. There's 14 million people in that one city. That's L.A., New York, Atlanta put together. One city. And then the false religions. How do you witness to people? Maybe we'll talk more about that sometime, but we've got to love people and we have to pray for people. And God has a way of using people. With that kind of thought in mind this morning, I want us to look at today about fathers. And I know we're celebrating, in a sense, today, Father's Day, of men who have been fatherly figures in the home, godly fathers that have made a difference and are making a difference. But in our world today, there's so many people, yes, they have a biological father, but they don't have a witness, godly witness in their life. And I'd like for us to think about that today as we think about fathers. And I titled the message this morning, The Biblical Role of a Father, because we find in God's Word how that men ought to portray the office of a father. And having said that, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6 today. We've been in the book of Ephesians in some time now. We've gotten down to the part of the husband and wife. We talked about the responsibility there. And I'm going to kind of spring forward just a few verses into chapter 6 today, and is a subject matter of fathers, and look at verse number 4, and then we're going to look at several passages of Scripture in Proverbs dealing with fathers and the responsibility. But a father, of course, is the head of the child. And again, we've got a generation, more than one, in our nation specifically, where there are no godly father figures. And we're reaping the benefits of that today as a people. We've lost respect and we've lost honor, and things that come from the responsibility of the father. And let's look at some of those today, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 6. And verse number 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." And that's the promise. "You honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." That's a promise there, if the child will honor the father and the mother. Now again, we're talking about godly parents, so let's kind of be clear with that as well. Then he says in verse number 4, this is the Apostle Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So the father is not to anger the child. That's what it says, to provoke not your children to wrath. They're not to push the child in a sense of provoking them to anger. But they're to do this, they're to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we're talking about now the action of training and the attitude that a father should have to raise a child in the right way and to be the example for the child to follow. So, as I said, while we recognize godly fathers, men here in our service that are fathers, let's remember the duty, because men, we can make an impression on others by your lifestyle, whether you have children or whether you do not, in the sense of filling the role for those who have been absent. As fathers, no responsibility. You can, again, as we look at the Word of God, think with me just a moment. You can't expect an unsaved person to fill the role of a godly father. That's impossible. A person can't live like a Christian. They can't walk in the light of the Word. They can't walk filled with the Spirit of God. We've talked about being filled with the Spirit of God. An unborn, lost human being cannot be filled with the Spirit of God. They cannot play the godly role in a child's life. These things can only be accomplished through the will of God, the work of God, and the Holy Spirit. So when we think today and look at some of the passages that have been given to us through Solomon in Proverbs, understand that we're talking about a godly man, one who has a heart for the Lord, one who's been born again by the Spirit of God. He's controlled by the Spirit of God. He's filled with the Spirit of God, and how he should conduct himself. So the father's not to provoke the child to anger. They're not to anger the child. And how could that be? A quick example would be for a father to teach and train a child to do something and then do just the opposite. See, that brings confusion to the child. It's more than do this because I say so. We're not talking about just the law. We're talking about also there's love. The key to this whole matter is love, but there is law. God gives us his word to guide us how a man should raise up his children. And he should be an example. It's not just in word only, it's in actions and in deeds. So this is what angers a child. What happens is a child grows up in the home very young, perhaps, and they respect their father, and they hear what they should do, and then they get to the place to where they realize at a teenager or whatever that their father has been kind of a hypocrite in a sense. He's been wearing a mask. He's been saying, do this and do that, but he doesn't do it himself. And now the child seems like that, well, you know, I've outgrown this and I'm not going to do it. And now the child's trying to be enforced by the parent. You continue to do this, and the child sees you're not doing it. And it's upsetting, and it angers the child, and it shouldn't be. We need to be men of example that mean what we say, we live what we mean, and we want others to follow this pattern. So let's look, if you would, back into the book of Proverbs. And I've got several Proverbs listed I'd like for us to look at as we think about the responsibility of the father. He's to guide the child, to instruct the child, to correct the child, to discipline the child, to provide for the child, to love the child. And this is to be done in word and example. And that's where the love and the law come together. You honor your parents. And we saw this, that the day may be long on the earth. That's one of the Ten Commandments. But again, we're not taking it out of context when we say, how does a child do that when they don't know who their father is? And see, this is what happens. You raise generations without a father, and they don't know how to respect. So this is where men, we come along, And we gain the respect of a person. It may be an adult. And we gain the respect of that. And of course, we're walking with the Lord in light of his word. And we gain that person's respect. And we at any age, it doesn't matter. Someone says, well, my kids are grown. Yes, but you can be a father. You can be a father to the fatherless. You can be a father to those who are in darkness, whose father was not saved, and maybe perhaps their father's been removed out of their life, or they never knew the father. But now you can become the father, in a sense, of demonstrating how the father should conduct himself. So let's look at some of this as we look at the responsibility. Proverbs chapter number 1. Again, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Remember, Solomon prayed for wisdom. God gave him wisdom. We only wish he'd used wisdom. We won't go down that road today, but this is God's word. He's not saying this is a perfect man, but he used him to give us the instructions of how to fulfill the duty as a father and the responsibility. In verse number 8, he said, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, you're listening to the responsibility, listening, if you would, to the instruction of the father. How does the father instruct? Well, the father instructs by encouraging, and he does this in a matter of ways. He does it with words, He does it with action. And this is what he said, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father." Then we'll look again over as we go forward into chapter number 4 in Proverbs. What he says there, of course, in verse number 1, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." So the word is given that the child is to listen. We saw back in Ephesians, obey. Your children are to obey. They're to take in the things of God. They're to listen to those things that have been given. And of course, do it in a responsible fashion. Verse number 10 in chapter 4 says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." That kind of agrees with, if you would, the commandment of honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days on the earth may be long. And this is what he's saying: receive my sayings, or my speech, or my words. What I'm saying to you, take that in, adapt to it, receive it, and the years of thy life shall be many. Someone's always going to say, "Well, I knew a person who was honored their parents and thus and so, and thus happened to them at an early age." Well, that hasn't really anything to do with this. You're not promised that all are going to have a long life, but there are those who do. And this is the thing, that we should take heed to the things of God, that the years of thy life shall be many. Well, there's one thing for certain: a child that has been raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that comes to an understanding of who Jesus Christ is at an early age. Someone said, "Well, this person was taken out in a car accident." Well, they are eternally in heaven as a result of that. I was sharing with someone just a while back along that thought. The Holy Spirit kind of brought it to mind real quick. I'll share this with you. There are those who've gone home early. And we talk about sometimes the person who gets out of the will of God that may go home early. But there's the person sometimes that God takes home early. And this is what the scripture says. I'll read it real quickly in Isaiah 59. He talks about this matter of this situation of Isaiah 57, rather. Verse number 1, it says, "The righteous perish, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come." That thought just came to mind by the Holy Spirit when I said that. How is that? Because let's say a godly child that has come to know the Lord, been trained under the godly parents, and now this child's taken out in an automobile accident at an early age. How do you reason that with they're going to have a long years of life on this earth? Well, it could be, as he said in Isaiah, that God has shortened their life for the danger to come. You think with me just a moment. Would it be better for a child to be taken out in an automobile accident, that's saved on their way to heaven and looking forward to the eternal state of being with Jesus Christ? Would it be better for them to be taken out in an automobile accident, or would it be better for them to go down the road and fall back into sin and live a life of misery to the Lord and for the Lord, against the Lord many years? No, God knows what he's doing. And this is what he says: God takes care of his own. And we need to, if you would, look into the things of God, consider how God works, and praise the Lord for his goodness, and take advantage of the day and time that we have now as men to represent God in the lives of others. Again, I think about some of the people over in India that call me dad. Some call me father. Same in Kenya. I've gotten a lot of texts this morning from people in both places. And I didn't know how to take that to begin with. I'm not, as in the Catholic Church, a father, but I understand what they're saying as a fatherly figure. And that what they're saying is this, men, that they need an example. The world is looking today for men, these children are, that can be an example for them to follow. Let's set the example. We know what the Word of God says. We know what God expects, and we can be that. If we don't have children, we can be that in the life of another one. And this is what he says, that their years may be long on the earth. So following in Proverbs chapter 4. He said in verse number 11, I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I've led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. In other words, give the instruction and take hold of it. Take hold of that instruction because it's very important. Two types of instruction. We instruct by our words. We're talking about giving out words, and then by our actions. This is a problem sometimes. It provokes a child to anger when the words and the actions don't align. I mentioned that. The father says, do this, and you know it's natural. We all have been children. We say, why? That's the big question, isn't it? Why? Why? What do you mean? Who gave you the authority to ask me why? Well, the child wants to know. You're training. They say, well, why? And the answer is so often given, because I said so. Well, now, we're going to respect the parent. We're taught that in Scripture. But again, if the parent is not living the example, and then they say, because I said so, you'll do that. As a child, it was corrected, you know. The parent said, sit down, son, and be quiet, or I'm going to warm your bottom. And he wouldn't be quiet, so he finally warmed the bottom, and he sat down, and he said, what is the look on your face? He said, I'm sitting down, but inside I'm standing up. Why is he standing up? Because you're saying one thing and doing another. You're not following through. We need to be the example. And this is what he says. We're to be that example. We're to give the instruction. Then we're to live the example. So it's more than by words. It's by actions as well. And the key again to this is found in love and in law. I want to read another verse of Scripture. In verse number 12, I'm going back to Proverbs 3 just a moment. In Proverbs 3 and verse 12, it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the son that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. So I want us to see that there is correction, and it can be done through words. Sometimes we will, as a father or a half, we've corrected with a word. I said not to do that. Don't do it again. And it works. And then, again, there are actions that must be taken. And God, he's the guide, the example that has been set here, and this is what it said. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Does God correct his children? Sure he does. And how does he correct his children? He corrects his children in a way that's shown in Scripture, the same way that the father should correct the child. The father corrects by words. God has given us his word. He says, do this and don't do that. Or he says, don't do that or do this or however, whatever it is he says. He gives us his word. And then, of course, in the book of Hebrews, he talks about a chastening of the Lord. I met with one of the men the other day, questioned me in Kenya about some of the matters. And we talked about these things of how God, and we kind of sometimes, it's not in America, it's all over the world. How do these people, they claim to be Christians, they say they've been raised in a godly home, they know what godly lifestyle and example is, but you can't be found with a search warrant. They're not in church. What's the problem? Are they saved or not? Well, yes, they're saved. Once you're saved, you're always saved, but they get out of the will of God. And what happens when a person gets out of the will of God? Well, God will speak to that person. God has a way of speaking sometimes through you and I as vessels of God in ways we don't understand. Sometimes we may go into a place of business and see someone we haven't seen in a long time, a Christian that's not in fellowship with God, and just our appearance in itself is like, wow, I wish I hadn't been here. I hope they don't see me. Why? They're already under conviction. That's the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we turn down the aisle and here they are and we say, hey, how you doing? Been missing you, haven't seen you in church in a while. And then there's conviction again. And they're getting the word, they're getting these things, and then they continue to go on their own, and then God chastens them. See, God will correct. And that's what he said about the chastening hand here. So whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And that's how the father, why does the father need to correct the child? Because he loves the child. The father wants the child to grow up and to be an example for his children, his grandchildren. Be an example for Jesus Christ, folks. That's who we want to be an example for, isn't it? Godly fathers ought to want to follow the Lord Jesus. Jesus loved and we're to love, but sometimes it takes the law. And that is, this is how we're to live and how we should conduct ourselves. And then after the chastening of the Lord, sometimes the Lord, I was saying to this Indian evangelist, I said, you know, sometimes the Lord will take the child home. He speaks, he corrects, and then the child continues to go astray, and God says, come on home, come on up to the house, and that's what he does. And so as the parent should follow the instruction of the Lord by word, by action, of course, in the chastening of the Lord. So we see this. And the words are one thing, speaking to the child, and then we find the actions as well. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter number 22 just a moment. As we look at the matter of the actions sometimes that are used in the things of God, again, this is for the purpose of training. In Proverbs chapter 22, and it says in verse number 15, Proverbs 22, 15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That doesn't mean that the child has to learn that. I mean, we come here in the likeness of Adam. We come into this world as a sinner. We're separated from God. Again, there's an age, I say, someone says, well, what do you call this age? I say, well, there's an age of safety. I don't know, you know, what does that mean? Well, we find that those who will dishonor the Lord will be judged one day according to their works in Revelation, how they'll be judged at the great white throne judgment according to their works. So what about a young child that hasn't come to the age of knowing the Lord, and yet how does God deal with them? I say that, are they saved? I said, I think the word safe would be okay to use. God will deal with them because what kind of works have they done? But what we're looking at now is this child that is growing up, and now the child knows what to do and what not to do. And it says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. What does that have to do with corporal punishment? Well, I didn't even know what corporal punishment was, and many of you didn't. We'd never heard the expression. That's corporal punishment. No, what we knew was it was godly discipline. I told you not to do that. Now, the thing about it is, you speak to the child, they get to a certain place, there's a place where you discipline the child. It's scriptural, it's biblical. You follow through on what's said. The rod of correction, we're not talking about child abuse, that's not what the scripture says, but it's talking about using the rod of correction, whatever that rod might be. It may be a switch, it may be whatever, but this is how the child is taught, through actions. It's more than just speaking. There comes a time when you said, and now you need to follow through. There's nothing sometimes more disheartening than, you've seen it, a child in the store that's having a fit. They want to get everything off the candy shelf, and the mama says, no, don't do that. Well, why roll them by in the buggy right by the candy aisle? You know, think about it. Why not go around the other way? But now the child's throwing a fit, and the mother says, I'll take care of that later. Well, and it never happens. And you know it doesn't. Why? Because the kid just keeps throwing more and more, and not judging the parent, but we've got to be at a place where either we don't go down the candy aisle, or either when we say, listen, they respect. So there's a way of action, of discipline. And this action is seen, of course, it's biblical. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter number 29, looking again at things that are biblical. In Proverbs 29 and verse number 15, talking about the rod, this is a way of exercising discipline. Proverbs 29, 15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. See, that counting out, I'm counting to 10, and then what? I'm not being ugly. I mean, you know, sometimes you hear, one, two, and this kid over here is just bouncing off the wall. And they get to 10, and then what? You almost want to stand up sometime if you're in a place of doctor's office or somewhere where this is happening, and you want to stand up and say, keep on counting. Well, they don't. Why? You know that it's not going to follow through. The child knows it. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left unto himself bringeth his mother to shame. Why? It's an embarrassment. I know that sometimes children can't be, there's certain things that a child can't be disciplined in. There's certain today in a lot of states and a lot of state of the child I'm talking about, you've got autism and things of this nature. But we're talking about in a child that is just spoiled or will not be disciplined because of the parent. Sometimes a parent needs to be disciplined. It makes you wonder, were you ever disciplined? How does this work? Well, you can't leave a child left to himself and let this child grow up this way, because if you do, you'll end up with a lot of things that we see today in leadership. We've got a lot of leaders today that have never been reproved. They've never been disciplined. They don't expect anyone else to. They've never been challenged by what's right. And that's why I said we've got to get back to the biblical understanding of what a godly father is, this role. And because we may have children that are grown men, we need to step up and take responsibility. Okay? Then he goes on to say in verse 17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Think about that. I've heard before in the upbringing, the parent would say, this is going to hurt me more than it does you, and you wondered, how could that happen? How does that happen when you know, you're on fire and you can't sit still? And you wonder, how is this? The reason why is because it hurts the parent that you haven't listened, and you have to keep going back over the same thing again. This is why it hurts the parent. But after a while, you keep moaning, and long enough, you get it. So correcting the child is what he's saying. And thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. So there is, in this matter of responsibility, there's joy that comes. And of course, again, we're to do this with love. And we find this. Let's go back to Proverbs 23 just a moment. Proverbs 23, verse 13 and 14. And he says there, Proverbs 23, 13 and 14, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Again, we're not talking about child abuse, but we are talking about using the authority to get the attention. As someone said, when you put the Board of Education on the seat of understanding, it works. It works. Not abusing, but bringing back sometimes to the place of understanding. And it says in verse 14, thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Someone said, well, that may be where we get the term, out of him. That's not the way it goes. But you, as a parent, in a loving fashion, you correct. And I say that today because the Lord put this on my heart. Men, if we stand in the place of a father, as a fatherly figure for others, how can we do this? Well, first of all, we need to gain respect. What do you mean by respect? A person of respect is a person that you can align with the things of God, and they're always the same. And I have a lot of people in my mind and heart, and I'm glad to be gathered around a lot in this church that I've come to know. Men of integrity and men that mean what they say and they haven't wavered. Thank you, men, today for who you are and what you're doing. You haven't wavered in your convictions. Stay with it. Why? Because the world's watching. And the world needs this. We need men to come to take up the responsibility of a father and to make a difference in this day and time. So the result of this, of course, brings wisdom. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 10, and we'll look there. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 1. It says the result of, you're talking about making the child wise in admonishing, in rebuking, in discipline. Proverbs 10:1 says the Proverbs of Solomon, A wise son maketh a glad father. It maketh a glad father. When the result of this raising, the result of this training, the results of the love and the example, it maketh a glad father. It makes the father rejoice. Proverbs 15 now, another scripture. And I'll give some more there in just a moment. But Proverbs 15, chapter 15 and verse number 20. It says again, a wise son maketh a glad father. You know, sometimes when you're reading through scripture, it does well to, I like to underline. Some people said, well, I don't want to mark in my Bible, but I do, and I've got things. And especially when it's mentioned more than once. A wise son maketh a glad father. And then we find again in verse number 20, a wise son maketh a glad father. It must be something to it that a wise son maketh a father glad or a glad father. There's something to that. Why? The father can rejoice in, not pride, but in a sense of being, feeling pride in that what he has done and what he is doing is making a difference. It's making a difference, folks. It's making a difference. In our setting, most of you people are a lot older, and those of us that have been raised in an environment of respect, it does a man good, it does a woman as well, don't misunderstand me, to see their children turn out in a way that others commend them. Hey, I met someone, I didn't know, that's your son, that's your daughter. Man, it blesses the heart. And you know what I'm speaking of. It blesses the heart. It maketh a glad father. And then the other side of this, the sad part of it, is the fool, the one who will not. Look at verse number 5, chapter 15. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. He won't listen. You know, we can only give instruction, we can only demonstrate, and it's up again to the child. There's a place and a point in a child's life to where they're going to answer for how they live. As I said, the kid said, I'm standing up, but I'm sitting down. One day that kid's going to grow up and he's going to do what he wants to do, and he's going to answer for that. This child is not willing. The fool despiseth his father's instruction. Let's look over at chapter 17 just a moment. If you would, look at 17 in verse number 21. It says, he that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow. What do you mean by that? I thought he was a godly parent. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. Maybe he's a godly parent, but he relinquished the right and power of raising a child to the wife, which the father's responsible for. And he ends up that the child is going down the wrong road. The child is in the wrong direction. And you can't, I mean, yes, the child is grown. He's responsible, or she's responsible now for their actions. But God is going to hold you accountable for how you raise that child. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow. Verse 25, same chapter. A foolish son is a grief to his father. And then it goes on to say, in bitterness to her that bare him. It's a weight on the mother as well, fathers, when we don't do our job. And I'm not saying that you have it. I'm saying this is what the Word of God says. Look at Proverbs chapter number 19, verse number 26. It goes on to say there, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother, this is acting violently toward his parents, is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. We don't want that. It happens, we've seen it, and this is why we're trying to stop this and take the responsibility. Chapter 20, Proverbs 20 and verse number 20, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Isn't it a sad thing today that we live in a generation where the children do curse their father and their mother? It didn't just start, or God would not have put this in his word through Solomon. Almost 3,000 years ago. We see that. And we do not like it. Another one is found in Proverbs chapter number 30. in verse number 11, it says there, there's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. It didn't just start today, folks. It's been there. He said in his day, there's a generation. Then he says also in verse number 17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it. The disrespect of the parents. But there's honor in following God's word, using his word as a guide, as a tool in raising the child. And then a last one I'm going to close with today, as we look, if you would, back to Proverbs chapter number 22. There's a word that's given here. Many have taken it as a promise of God. It's a principle of God. I'll say that. And I can't say that we can't hold on to it as a promise, because I know there are many who are holding on to this one verse. They're holding on to it today. Godly men and women, they're saying, I'm believing what God's word says. I said, it's a principle. Verse number 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Only God knows how many people today, I'm talking about believers, are holding on to that one word. They said the word of God says, train up a child in the way he should go. And they said, we gave our life to instructing our children. We gave ourselves. We gave our time. We did everything we could. And now they've gone away. And I'm holding on to that promise that God said, if we train them up, when they get old, they'll come back. Folks, I'm with you on that. I understand what you're saying. There's a principle. That's why it's so important to get children under the sound teaching of the Word of God. You're talking about vacation Bible school. We're not talking about giving out Kool-Aid and cookies. That's okay. But what we need more than anything else is for the young child to hear. Some may have never heard who Jesus Christ is, and this is our purpose. This is our plan. And that, men, as we go forth this day, let us think on these principles and see, maybe there's someone in your life that has made a difference to you, or you be making a difference in someone else's life today. But today's the day as we think about fathers. Let's stand together today as we go to the Lord in prayer in closing this morning. Father God, you know each of our hearts today. You know the desires of each of our hearts. And Lord, I pray for the men here today in this congregation, Lord, under the sound of the word of God. I pray today we would unite with your word and do as you said, Lord. Help us to be a figure, a fatherly figure in the lives of those that may not have one. Dear Lord, and pass the torch to them that they may too take up this challenge. To be men to those who follow them. To be respected, to be honored. Lord, that we may rejoice in days to come. One day when we get to glory, Lord, we can see those that we've made a difference in the lives of. And Father, I pray today that you bless our fathers. I pray today, Lord, for the hearts of those that are here, that their hearts may be stricken with a friend or someone, a family member, Lord, that's not walking with thee. And Father, we do hold on to your word, the training of a child, that they will not return from it, but would return to you, dear Lord, not go away. Father, help us as a people, as a church, to make a difference in this day and age in which we live. And we pray your blessings on each one this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.